Now, Prabhupada doesn't even comment whether they had it, were tasty or not. We can understand dry leaves don't make a very good feast. Very rare did they serve that out for the Sunday feast in any temple. Dry leaves that fell from a tree. Although they were organic, still, it was quite austere. Every 6 days eating some dry leaves. And then, in order to further his austerity, in order to increase his challenge and his meditation on Vishnu, he wasn't doing it simply to be austere, because the less we engage in sense gratification, the easier it is to fix the mind upon Krishna. We're usually distracted because of material desires. But if the material desires decrease, then our ability to concentrate on Krishna increases. So he was developing a taste for concentration upon Krishna, and therefore in the next month, every 12th day, he drank a little water. Didn't leave many days. So water is also food, although few people can live just by drinking water. But if you can stop eating food, you may survive a month, 2 months. But if you stop drinking water, you won't survive even a week. So although we take food as a very important, gross food, but even water is more important than food. And after that, after the next month, he decided to stop his breathing. So even more important for food is breathing. If we stop breathing, we stop not only getting oxygen, but we stop getting prana into the body, the energy that the life force of the body. He gives life to the body. So he even stopped breathing. And then, in the next month, he stood on one foot, because it wasn't challenging enough to stop the breathing. So he just stood on one foot, meditating on Vishnu the whole time. Obviously, you really have to, if you try and stand on one foot, you have to concentrate. You can't try to chant your japa and stand on one foot. Very difficult. It's difficult chanting japa anyhow and concentrate. But to try and keep your balance on one foot for a whole month is quite a challenge, especially when you haven't eaten anything. You haven't drunk anything. You're not even breathing. You're just standing on one foot. You really have to concentrate. But he was concentrating on Vishnu, so he was fully conscious. He was able to maintain standing one foot. So breath is even a more important food, without which we can't, for most of us, we won't last for a few minutes. But we take these things for granted. Now, if we were living in a place like Tokyo, where you have to, just like when I grew up, the water in the tap, it was in New York City, was clean. You could probably, it was drinkable. It was some of the best water in America. But then they decided to make some money from water. Anyone who's a businessman tries to make water money somehow or another. So they started to sell water on the street, and everyone laughed. Why would anyone want to buy water on the street? I remember the first time I put in my quarter to get some water just to see how the machine, and I discovered that you had to have bring a bottle with you or a container. So the water came, but it all just spilled out. No one would ever conceive that in the future bottled water would be a big business. Now, later on, if you go to nowadays, if you go to Tokyo, the air is so poor that people actually have to buy oxygen on the street sometimes. Now, if someone set up an oxygen business on the streets of downtown Ljubljana, it probably won't get so many customers right now. But it may be a future enterprise. Getting into the business early, before the air quality becomes so poor that People can't even breathe anymore. Because now they say this, one of the effects of a severe case of coronavirus is they're very difficult to breathe, and therefore oxygen is in demand. They don't have enough. Some places they haven't distributed, or they don't have enough respiratory devices so that people can breathe in oxygen. In any case, this is food, and generally these things are valuable, and they're considered to be, well, important. But here we find the demons, they're so envious that they're cutting down the trees, they're destroying the bridges, and they're doing everything necessary to make everyone else's life miserable. Their life is excited by making other people's life miserable. Especially, it says here, the trees are the sources of fruit. So, of course, we think, well, this is no one would do that nowadays. But they do that all the time. In America, they had fruit trees in some cities. And then people would just, they didn't have to work because they could just go and they could just pick the fruit from the trees. And so what the city did was that they cut down all the trees on the city property, the fruit trees. They had all, this is in the south, they had all kinds of nice trees, avocado trees and apple trees, and they cut them all down so people couldn't get free food. So they had to work. So this is enviousness. Why should you get something free? You should work for me. And even nowadays we find this genetically modified food contaminates all the other food. Genetically modified food, and they did experiments in France, they showed that it actually causes cancer in rats. And therefore it's carcinogenic, including within people. But it's the most widely distributed chemical in the world nowadays. It's found in everyone, practically. Even the polar bears have it. And they don't eat genetically modified food. But they get it from, well, I guess they get it from the fish. So they're creating food, which is, looks like food, but it's actually not food. It's not very healthy food. Simply to exploit people, to make some profit from them. The whole idea of getting rid of the bull, getting rid of the cow, is all, which is what modern society profit is driven on. The whole thing is just based upon animal slaughter. And the vegans are not going to stop that because it also involves the bull. The idea was we get rid of the cow and bull by eating them, then we have to somehow or another cultivate the land. So we need tractors. They created these tractors. And in order to have the tractors, you need gas and oil to manufacture them and to run them. And therefore they had to dig into the earth, into the sea to get the oil, the petroleum. But supposedly, in order to get the petroleum, then they had to create all these armies to fight with each other over the gas lines and petroleum lines in order to make a profit. Because you make a profit from war and from the armies, you make a profit from the petroleum, you make a profit from building the tractors, you make a profit from selling the food. The whole idea was to concentrate wealth in the hands of as few people as possible. Because if you had cows and bulls protected and they were plowing the land and giving food, then people wouldn't need all this oil. You would need all these armies. You would need all these tractors and all these other, you didn't need the supermarket. And people wouldn't be under people's control. You wouldn't need all this paper money. You wouldn't need all these other things. So the whole thing is more or less just so that a few people can feel like they're in control. Everyone else is put into misery. Similarly, these demons, they don't really have to cut down the trees. They don't have to break all the boundary walls and destroy the bridges. But they do it because they're in Maya. And they have to feel like they're the controllers. And they can't tolerate anyone else enjoying or living peacefully because they're agitated. Therefore, they have to agitate everyone else. Unfortunately, there was no one there to chant the holy names, but even if there were, it wouldn't make any difference because the demons don't like the holy names. In any case, this is Krishna's arrangement, because ultimately, without the disturbance of the demons, then Krishna doesn't appear. And without Krishna appearing, then we wouldn't have Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna arranges these things so we can actually hear about his glories in his different incarnations. And because Jagannath Shishtash Nashanto or Jagannathat Kamano Nyatra Loko Yam Kamara Vandanai Tadartama Pikontiya Mukta Sangha Samachara, that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Perform prescribed duties for his satisfaction, O son of Kunti, in this way you'll always remain unattached and free from bondage. In other words, without the demons coming and creating disturbance, then there's no reason for the devotees to take shelter of Krishna in this world. So Krishna arranges the demons to wake up the devotees. So they take shelter of him, and he can come and save them, and therefore when he saves them, then the relationship between the devotees and Krishna becomes more intimate. So in one sense, the demons are also helping people progress in devotional service. But only a few of them, like Hiranyakashipu. Of course, Lord Nrisimhadeva was very kind. He killed not only Hiranyakashipu, but he killed thousands of the demons also. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that the demigods were afraid of him. And Lord Nrisimhadeva, he bifurcated Hiranyakashipu, although he had a body which could withstand the thunderbolt of Indra. But Nrisimhadeva simply ripped him apart, and still his friends had no intelligence, and therefore they attacked Nrisimhadeva. They were insignificant compared to Hiranyakashipu, and still, because they lost their intelligence, therefore they tried to attack Nrisimhadeva, and they got ripped apart by their good fortune. They took advantage of the incarnation. But in an unfavorable way, of course. Therefore, we should understand that everything that goes on in the material world is either an opportunity for the devotees to take shelter of Krishna, or for the demons to inspire the devotees to take shelter of Krishna. There's nothing else going on in the material world. When the devotees aren't so serious, when people are not so serious, then Krishna creates disturbances so that those who actually have a little God consciousness become more serious. And the most serious thing is when the food runs out. Just like nowadays, probably people are not so much interested in buying electrical items. They want to save their money to make sure that they can get enough food in the future. Because when you have a choice between a computer and a meal, although it's a new, nice computer, still, people would rather, if you can eat the computer, they might take the computer. But food is the most important thing in the material world. And food, as I said, also means clean water and fresh air. and nice relationships too. Without food for the mind, food for the intelligence, then the living entity can't be satisfied either. If you put someone into a room, if you cover people with protective clothing, with clothing, so they can't, their senses don't work. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't touch, they can't smell. Then the result is they go crazy. Because people also need food for their senses. Just like we find the devotees, they can give up everything, but they can't give up rock music. They're just addicted. Worse than heroin. Because that's also food for the mind. So everyone needs food, and if we have the right food, and we take it in the right way, as Krishna's mercy, then the result is we spiritually advance. And when it's taken away, then we have to pray to Krishna, we have to rely upon Krishna to come and save us. That also furthers our relationship with Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I've been always puzzled by some demons that are also devotees, like Bali Maharaj. I can understand that a demon can become a devotee and then act as a pakka, perfect, wonderful devotee. But Hiranyakashipu's great-grandson, Bali Maharaj, seems to be, he even surprised Indra by his devotion and the level of his realization. But at the same time, I'm puzzled, why did he attack Amaravati, Indra's planet? If he was devotional, he was instructed by Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, and he does ultimately become a Mahajan. He's one of the Mahajanas, 12 Mahajans, the biggest teacher, the greatest teachers. So, did he become such a devotee after Vamanadeva, or did he still have some acceptable reason to attack Amaravati?
He may have been a devotee because Sukracharya had instructed him to offer everything to Vishnu, because that was one of the reasons why he wanted to offer everything. He realized that Vamadeva was Vishnu, and he got the instructions from his spiritual master to offer everything to Vishnu. But at the same time, well, we have a number of things. One of the things is that Indra offended his spiritual master. Therefore, his status as a devotee had diminished. You can't offend your spiritual master and still be a devotee. So somehow or another, Krishna arranged it so that someone came and woke up Indra. So that was an arrangement. Now, Bali Maharaj, he never saw Vishnu, but when he saw Vishnu, he became just like when the Kumaras, they met Narayana at the gates of Vaikuntha by smelling the tulsi leaves and the sandalwood pole. They went from impersonalism to pure devotion. So similarly, when Bali Maharaj saw Vamanadeva and fell in love with him, therefore, he understood the import of he should offer everything to Vishnu. And therefore, at least at that point, he was a pure devotee. Anything else? Yes. Okay.
As far as I understand, Tokyo has one of the cleanest air qualities, levels of air quality in the world now. In the 80s they had oxygen bars and oxygen cans and everything. My understanding is that because as devotees we do chant Hare Krishna, then the demigods, whoever is in charge, they give somebody an idea. So we had this who was it? Celia inviting the catalyzer? They invented the catalyzer for the cars. So the cars get cleaner and cleaner, the exhaust becomes cleaner and cleaner. I've been also almost like a witness of New Delhi being super polluted when I came, like 20 years ago plus. And then in the beginning of the noughties or 2000s, it became green and clean. It was actually very pleasant. And on CNN,
Delhi has had some of the worst air quality.
Now it again went to the bottom of the like the worst in the world. Yeah. What I'm saying is it goes in waves, and my favorite theory is if we chant, preach, distribute, and also behave as proper devotees, then the demigods and Krishna, Mother Nature, Durga, everybody, they can give us a new lease of whatever.
Yeah, of course. Yes, Krishna make everything perfect in a moment if he wanted to. But the material nature harasses us or even tortures us to inspire us to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, there's no impetus to do it. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Pranam.